This is our Comienzo Sano Familia Saludable Kit. We call it a caja de herramientas because we carry a lot in this box, and this is what we use with our student community health educators who become, oh, you can't hear me? Who become promotores de salud, in other words. So we work a lot with promotores models. But with this project, we try to incorporate the cultural and linguistic skills that our students bring into the role of promotor. We have a promotores team that we work with at the center. We work with the National Council of La Raza. For those who don't know, it's the largest civil rights organization for Latinos in the nation. And we have a co-center at Cal State University, Long Beach. So this is our project. So I have nothing to disclose. Well, maybe I do, but I won't know. I'm teasing. It's so strange. So we're funded by the United States Department of Agriculture, and I just want to my co-PI is Dr. Gail Frank, our evaluator is Selena Nguyen Rodriguez, our project coordinator, who's right over here, Malawi Garcia, who's worked very, very hard on this project and orchestrating and managing all of the student community health educators and linking them with the promotores. Our graduate assistant is Mayra Rascon, and Mayra just finished her MPH and was supported 100% by this project. So that's the other thing that the USDA enables us to do. And also we have a student community health educator, Monica, right here. And we work with women, we work with the WIC clinics at Long Beach Department of Health and Human Services, Long Beach Memorial Medical Center, and also St. Mary's. As you know, obesity is much higher, and it's much higher among Latinos, diabetes type 2, especially among adolescent Latinos, and the breastfeeding will really help folks to not become obese. So this is something that we really want to increase. And I know we've been hearing all day that Latinos are more likely to breastfeed, but what we know is that geographically there are issues, and also with acculturation there are issues, right? So I'm thinking about Arizona right now, and probably not very many folks are participating in government-sponsored programs, so they might be more likely to breastfeed, so that might be the one positive thing that's coming out of Arizona, I'm not sure, but and your work, right? We do a lot of community-based participatory research. And again, we have a promotores team of community health workers at our center, and also the student community health educators who are all bilingual, bicultural. And we try to do a lot of work where we're really linking with the community on a constant basis. So this provided us, this Comienzo Sano Familia Saludable, provided us an opportunity to leverage USDA resources, working with WIC, working with students, and then working with out in their communities. So they're utilizing their skills while they're being reinforced academically. We're also trying to help them recognize all of the skills that they bring to the academic setting. So we wanted to be able to support faculty and students for careers in this. So the part of what we're doing is trying to change the curriculum. And I always liken it to NCLR changes things by weaving things into policy. Universities usually change things by weaving things into the curriculum. So one of the things that we're doing is establishing, we've just established a permanent course on Latino nutrition and chronic disease. And we just heard on Thursday that we received a grant where we're going to be able to initiate a whole line of study within Cal State Long Beach that'll focus on Latino childhood obesity, nutrition, and chronic disease. So we're really excited about that. So the USDA needs address curricular design, materials development, library resources, faculty preparation, so we're also training faculty to teach the course as well. Student experiential learning, student recruitment, retention, and educational equity is very important, and expanding career opportunities. So we wanted, as I said, we wanted to enhance our course offerings, so we just have this first course approved. It will be offered this next semester, and we will be going through for general education as well so that people can take it for a lot more folks will be involved. We're going to develop and implement one academic advisement training for junior faculty and lecturers to be able to really understand the contextual issues facing Latino students, and then other trainings to be able to learn how to teach the course itself. So we wanted to retain, recruit, and hire undergraduate and graduate first-generation educated. Now, that doesn't mean first-generation immigrant. It means first-generation educated, so the first generation in their families to attend college and to enroll in the course, and also to go through the student experiential learning and be out working with the families. We wanted to support students in community-based participatory research and intervention to deliver what we call charlas to 180 moms. And we had a former iteration of this project, and what we found is that we were working at the WIC clinics and the moms really wanted home visits. So we had to change. One of our lessons learned is always working with IRB, as all of you mentioned. And so we're now going into the home. So the student community health educators do a series of 5 visits, 4 in the home and then a follow-up for evaluation. So we thought that that was a really good thing, that the women were so confident and so trusting, and we'd been able to develop this confianza with the moms that we were working with, that they actually wanted the students to come to their homes. And of course, monitor and conduct process and outcome evaluation throughout the duration of the project. And we're just in the beginning. We just started recruiting moms in June. So we wanted to increase the visibility of our community work at CSULB. CSULB is the second largest university in California. It's a very, very large university. We're about 35% Latino, if you use the valid percent, second only to UCLA, and we don't have a doctoral program. So it's a very, very big campus. And we wanted to also increase the awareness of other Hispanic-serving institutions and organizations about best practices. So we've conducted conferences where we bring in other HSIs and show them what we're doing, so then they can go forward and do the same thing. And again, increasing what we're doing in the institutional fabric of Cal State Long Beach. I went back instead of forward. Sorry about that. So in terms of what we're doing with the course, we touch on infant health nutrition, infant health issues. We look at baby bottle tooth decay. We look at breastfeeding initiation duration and exclusivity. We look at access and utilization of care. We look at immunity and nutrition. We look at a profile of Latino child health and nutrition. Whenever we're dealing with child health, and I think we need to be really cognizant of this, we're dealing with an intergenerational issue. So you can't deal with child health on its own without dealing with family health, especially within the Latino culture, because familism is one of the things that makes Latinos so resilient. The importance of motherhood and nutrition, culture and motherhood, what that means. We look at the cuarentena. We look at all of the contextual issues that form that part of a woman's life. So we have 2 graduate students and 4 undergraduate students in this process. One of the graduate students gets full tuition, stipends for books, a laptop, and opportunities to attend conferences, and this is how we bring a lot of folks to the conference. The community health workers are enrolled in Masters in Public Health programs, health science, nutrition, biology, nursing, and healthcare administration. And we're also starting to recruit some from the psychology department. What we're really training them in is Latino-specific health promotion and chronic disease prevention in working with underserved Latino communities. And this is fairly easy and innate for a lot of our students because they come from underserved Latino communities. We engage them in career development opportunities such as mentorship, presentations, and conferences. And they learn about health and nutrition factors to prevent and more effectively manage chronic disease in Latino communities. And Mayra, I wanted you to come up and give a little bit of her experience as our student community health educator who's just recently had received her MPH.
Hi, good morning. Being one of the student community health educators has been a great experience, and just going out into the communities and into the WIC clinics to recruit these women. Like she had mentioned, the level of confianza that these mothers have built with us and being able to go into their homes and talk to them, and also being seen as kind of someone younger and going in and speaking with his moms and still, you know, having that sense of what you're telling me is great information. They really value our help, and we walk out of there with just such a positive experience for the moms and even for ourselves. And we have noticed, especially for myself, as for the differences in providing the services within the WIC clinics and then also in the homes, it's just been a better transition in the homes. And as for further experiences for the students, we have learned a lot just about the process of research and going through the IRB process, about just the questionnaires and developing them and giving them to the participants, also some data analysis. And then we have had a lot of great opportunities with being involved in health fairs, also going to conferences and relaying our information that we've learned. And for myself, especially just having had that support, because of the first generation where you are promoted to keep going further into your academic studies, and having the financial support was a huge plus. So all in all, it's been wonderful. I'll turn it back.
So, and Maida touched on this, and we did as well, but we do a lot. They're also trained in motivational interviewing. So we work a lot with the students to really, we are really at the center like a big familia. So it helps a lot. And working with all the different folks that we work with and designating where they're going. And also I would really make a plug for the home visits, because I think it enables the men to get involved, because the home visits can be, the mothers schedule the home visits, so they schedule them when their husbands are there or their partners are there, if that's what they want or not, right? But depending on what she needs to support her. And we have done some focus groups with other projects and found that the men get really, really engaged when they know more about what the whole process is. So in terms of health education, we went through the IRB. We conduct student recruitment. And that has been difficult at times. There's some WIP clinics that have been very open for our participation and others that really haven't. So it's been a little bit of a challenge in some places and others, and it should be something that meshes really, really well. But that's not always the case. And I think that when we're engaging in the charlas, the mothers get a lot more when they're outside, when they're actually within their home settings. And so we collect data on all the participants, and we conduct case management and follow-up. So it enables us to be able to link. We've also hired a part-time therapist at the center, so if we're able to identify something that the mom might need more help with, we're able to engage her through the therapist that we do have, to be able to transition her into different modes of care. And this has been really important, especially in Southern California, where so many of the resources have been cut through state budget cuts. We had 9 months without a state budget. So the Latino WIC participants receive a total of 4 educational sessions, 2 short classes within the sessions. This is the kit that they use. So this can be taken anywhere. We can also do this in a larger setting, but we really find that these types of things work a lot better, because she can take this in a home. The student community health educator can take this to the WIC clinic, a home, a laundromat, an apartment, wherever she is, she can take this through. And there are little tabs on the side that you'll see. So we go through, for example, this is about benefits of breastfeeding. So you see, this talks about the benefits in Spanish. This is in English, because a lot of our younger moms prefer English. And in the back, we've got the script for the student community health educator. And the promotores helped us develop this. We develop everything in Spanish first. We have a pan-Latino staff, so we use folks from 5 different countries, making sure that all of the Spanish is very easy to understand, very basic, very, very pan-Latino. So you can go through this, and it's been a great experience. And we go into the different positions and things like that. So they have their 8 classes, and then there's some supplemental information at the back on allergies and different things like that. So I'll leave this here, and you all can take a look at it. But it's been a very, very good tool. And also the student community health educators and our promotoras feel a little bit more official taking this kit into the home. So. And it stands up easily most of the time. So there you go. And participants receive a $10 gift card for each session. So this is just an example of the curriculum on prenatal care, breastfeeding, and proper nutrition. And you'll see the inside. We also go into exercise. We go into the classes are on a number of different things. But you can see how the kit looks on the inside. And it was also designed by an immigrant Latina graphic artist. So that helps as well. So. And we look at all of the different issues that they might be facing and treat it within that cultural context. So evaluation, we do take demographic data, and we take in-depth demographic data. We use the same demographics that we use at the National Council of La Raza. Pre-knowledge, post-knowledge, follow-up. And we look at history of breastfeeding, intention to breastfeed, and breastfeeding exclusivity, prenatal care, nutritional knowledge, physical activity behaviors, and also family support. And we're constantly about reinforcing both culture and reinforcing family ties, because a lot of the social support networks are lost when folks immigrate to the U.S. So So our preliminary data, our goal is to reach 180 participants. We know that we're going to have to over-recruit to get all of those women through all of the sessions. To date, 60 women are enrolled in the project. 38 have completed all four sessions. 6 have completed up to session 3, 7 to session 2, and 9 to session 1. Okay. So the minimum age is 27.84, ranging between 18 to 41. Spanish, the first language is the majority, so again, that's why we design everything in Spanish first and then go back to English. Most of them are coming from Mexico and a few from Guatemala. And years in the U.S., 11.11. The majority are married or living with a partner. Very few are single, which is a different, again, a different context, because if we can engage the partners and the husbands in this, we can probably get a little bit farther in terms of creating social support mechanisms to reinforce breastfeeding. Number of people in the households, fairly large, 4.24. Living in a home, 19. Living in an apartment, a shared house, 6. And a shared apartment, 6. High school diploma, 48%. Some high school, 21%. Middle school, 3.9%. And elementary grade school or less is 15.7%. So we're still missing a big chunk of the population when you think that almost 20% haven't finished primary school. Receiving Medi-Cal, 90.2%. And medical insurance through work, only 7.8%. So the majority have children, number of children 1.47 mean, attending childbirth classes 34.3%, did not attend childhood classes because of work 19%, because they didn't have care for, they had to care for, or no child care for others 14.2%, so these are some of the barriers that they often experience when they try, and 31% had expressed milk before, so we know that there was some history of breastfeeding. Number of weeks pregnant, 30.61, and that's, so we know that we're hitting them about the right time. Breastfeed only for first 6 months, 39.2%. Number of months planning to breastfeed, 3.54. So this is an area of concern. So when we look at planned breastfeeding for the first month, breastfeeding only 40%. I'm at the end. Okay, let me just get to the end. What we saw is that we did definitely make a difference in terms of, is it recommended to breastfeed your baby for how many months? We were able to make a significant difference in folks that believe that 90.4% knew that they should breastfeed through 12 months. What is the best way to feed your baby? Breastfeeding only, again, rose. So our next step is we're going to go on, we're going to collect more data, we're going to recruit the full cohort of 180, and we're hoping that through that we will be able to prove that the program is in fact significant. We're heading in that direction, we can see from the preliminary data. We're going to continue participant recruitment, implement the trainings that we're doing. We're just recruiting a new cohort of student community health educators right now. So we'll hire and train the second cohort of students and provide the students with the conference opportunities that we're able to provide. And that's about it. And you can contact me or Malawi at the same number if you have any questions. You can take a look at this. Definitely. I think that you could. Again, this is tailored for moms who are pregnant and, you know, are going to go through that perinatal period. But I think that you could extract certain components from it and then go forward, especially if you're working in Spanish-speaking daycares. Definitely.
I was working in a Spanish-speaking daycare and I was English. They could possibly read the Spanish while I would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's designed bilingually, but we emphasize the Spanish because we know that most of our folks speak Spanish. Not yet. We're working with the USDA is really happy with it. We're working with them right now. We're just in the preliminary. We're testing it right now. So we'd hate to have you buy something and then it didn't work, right? So we want to prove that it can work first, and then we'll move on.
You have a question here in the front.
Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering at what literacy level you guys were aiming for. If you've gotten
4th to 5th grade. Yeah, 4th to 5th grade. And we know that, you know, that's. We know that we have folks that can't read at all, right, and can barely, if at all, write their names. So that's why the promotora is so important, because giving out written information, it just does not have And it doesn't also have the touch of what we work with, which is personalismo, which is developing that personal relationship with another individual. And we find that that really works. And it's culturally, contextually correct. Any other questions at all?
So we have about 3 minutes now for any questions for anybody. Yes, in the back.
Baby-friendly hospitals in Arizona, do you know if there are any that have applied for intent for baby-friendly? Okay, do you have another program like a guy who has five steps and someone else in Louisiana has the gift? But it's more the intent of baby-friendly that we really want hospitals.
Yeah, there are no hospitals going for baby-friendly that I know of in Arizona. However, there is a big statewide WIC-supported Colorado 5-type program that got funded and is just rolling out.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Well, thank you so much for coming. Let's thank the presenters again. And have a great time at the conference.